Let's Talk Cricket. Rob Quaney has been on the line and waiting to get into this. Good morning to you, Robbie.
Yeah, good morning, Matty. How are you going, mate?
Good, thank you. The Brisbane Heat, did you see that one coming? I mean, in the end, thanks to Michael Nisa, they were quite extraordinary the way that they just closed it down. And here they are in the final, taking the Sydney Sixers spot, which many thought was going to be a Sixers scorchers final.
I was one of those people as well, Matty. I definitely thought it was going to be a Sixers scorchers. I knew it was going to be a bit of an ugly game. I didn't think it would be as ugly as it was. Unfortunately, the wicket wasn't conducive for high scoring. I think that's what the Sixers want. They won the toss. They batted first. Clearly, I listened to Dan Christian last night. They felt like they were 15 runs short. You know, I was expecting they needed 150, but it sounded like 130, 135 was going to be enough. But hell of an effort from the Brisbane Heat to, you know, to finish fifth. And, you know, for them to win this big bash, they're going to have to win five finals, and that's an amazing effort. So they're there. Can they knock off the Scorchers? I don't think so, but they keep surprising us, don't they?
I had a chat with Dougie Bollinger yesterday, and I threw him the question, and I'll throw it to you about momentum. And the way that the Heat, as you've just pointed out there, have built their back-end momentum. They got the run going. They came into this with the 2 out of 2 wins, I think maybe 5 out of 6, I think, is the right figure. But they just came home with that sail up. How much do you think momentum plays in that kind of format of the game where it can turn on a ball, really? It can change in an over, and that's what happened at the back end there. Michael Nisa turned it around in that power surge. So do you reckon the Heat had the momentum more than the Sixers?
Heading into the game, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do think they had more of the momentum. I think I experienced it as a player, and you always hear it when people are playing in tournaments, and it doesn't matter what sport, is that making sure you're peaking at the right time, and the right time is coming into finals, and this is where the Heat are now. You know, the biggest part about last night's win was all the talk around losing Labuschagne, Renshaw and Kawaja, and being without Swepson. But they still got the job done on a foreign wicket to the Brisbane Heat. So they've gone out there full of confidence and, like you said, momentum, and got the job done chasing a tricky target. I don't know how they're going to get over the line against Perth. Last time they played against Perth, Perth did them easy. I think they chased the Heat's total down in with just 2 wickets down. So and talk about momentum. The Perth Scorchers are taking momentum over the last few years, let alone the last few games. They're amazing side, and I think if they win, it's their fifth final, and I think their fifth title, and they've been in 7 or 8 finals since the inception. This is number 13, so it's an amazing effort from the Scorchers, but really hope that the Heat can bring their A game, and they haven't played their grand final already.
Yeah, those numbers are off the charts. I mean, they've won 4 of them, and they've been in 7 finals leading into this one, the Perth Scorchers. So no doubt about it. I mean, the fact of that alone, plus Optus Stadium, is going to be a massive one for the Brisbane Heat. And they've shown that they're not afraid to take it up. We've been playing a bit of what if this morning, and you just mentioned 3-4 key names, but 3 key names, especially for the Heat, of Labuschagne, yep, Kawaja and Renshaw. And then the what if Steve Smith. If he performs at half the average that he performed at throughout the 5 games that he played, you get to that 130, 140 mark. If he performs at the average, you get towards the 180 mark. I mean, it's a fair old what if. So let me throw this one at you. Just play a bit of what if with me. If it was, what if last night it was Smudge was in that team for the Sixers, and what if Marnus and Kawaja and Renshaw were in the Heat team last night? I mean, would you be prepared to say that it ends up the same way, or does it even itself out?
I think even if the Heat had their batters, and like you said, Smudge got the total up to 150, I'm back in the Sixers to defend that. It looks such a hard wicket to bat on. And the last time the Sixers played there, I think Smith got 100, and he was the only one that looked like he knew what he was doing out there. I remember Moses Enriquez batting with him, and he was at a runner ball and feeding Smith the strike, but it looked really hard, and Smith was the only one that really stood out on a wicket like that. So, I think it might have helped the Sixers, but in saying that, the Sixers had the personnel. They had everything go their way. I think it was crucial moments that didn't go their way. I think there might have been a drop catch from Philippi off O'Keefe. Another one that didn't quite carry to Kerr at backward point. And And then Josh Brown just pumped O'Keefe's third over down the ground for two sixes. And at that stage, I thought, I think the Heat are going to do this. They managed to get the Heat 6 for 85 when Max Bryant got out. And I thought, it's flipped again. And I was getting texts from other guys and other cricket mates saying, six is a home. And I'm like, there's one more twist to come. There's got to be. It just seems like that game. And Michael Nisa played a hell of an innings. And the over that Hayden Kerr bowled was obviously the straw that broke the camel's back. I think it went to 15 and there was 3 boundaries in a row. And Michael Nisa, kept his cool. Not only has he done the job with the ball all season for the Heat, but he stood up and shown that he can be calm and cool and methodical with the bat as well, which was crucial.
Just a quick one before I let you go. So there's a news around this morning that South Australia are looking to try and do a swap, essentially, with the SCG test. It's not about date or venue. It's actually about opposition. They don't want another Windies test. They want a Pakistan test. So I've outlined all the reasons behind it. Do you think it's a valid call to say, let's have a look at a switcheroo, because we think that we should have, based on the numbers that they get down there and based on the weather in Sydney, but they're saying we should have the chance to have essentially a better opposition than the West Indies two tests in a row across the two summers that it would be?
Yeah, I think they've got every right to, but in saying that, Sydney, you guys are probably going to sit there and go, well, we deserve it as well with the SCG, I think the one thing that might complement it, and people might joke about it, is finding just a different date for the SCG test from a weather perspective. And coming from Melbourne, that might sound like contradictory, but I think all the statistics show that there's been a lot of days washed out, and go, maybe there is a chance for a switcheroo. But I'll leave that to those at the SACA and obviously Cricket New South Wales and the SCG Trust to sort that out. I reckon that there might be discussion more around the dropping wickets at the SCG as opposed to the opposition. I think that might be a bigger fish to fry for them at the moment. So, but I can see both sides of the fence. I probably sound like I've got splinters in my backside here, Matty. I'm sorry.
It's an interesting one. It's led us down the path of straight swaps for sports. So what could you swap if you got the chance anywhere? And we're starting a fair old fight, I would say. I was going to say debate, but it's a pretty good fight that we're having this morning. But you don't need to be part of that,
escalated.
Rob. Good on you, mate. Appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matty. Take care, mate.